We have been on a journey these last several weeks through Matthew's Gospel. And we have been tracking one particular thread through the story that Jesus tells about his life and death and resurrection. And that theme has been God with us. Matthew presents Jesus at the very beginning of his Gospel as Emmanuel. God who is with us. And as the story has moved forward, we have discovered that God is with us wherever two or three are gathered in His name. When we are with children and with those whom Jesus calls the least of these. That God is with us when we are on mission. And God is with us at the Lord's table. And this morning, we come to Jesus' last words, his final promise made to his disciples, and we learn that God is with us always. Here in this final verse of the gospel, the theme that is introduced in Matthew's first chapter comes full circle when Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Matthew's conclusion stands out among the four Gospels. When Luke tells the same story, it is not Jesus' presence, but Jesus' absence that is emphasized. He was taken up into heaven and a cloud hid him from the disciples' sight. John's Jesus talks at length about going away and returning to his Father. And that's what makes Matthew's final verse such a crucial promise to Jesus' disciples and to us. That even in his absence, though we did not walk with him as his disciples did, though we do not now see him, he is always with us. And that promise is emphatic. You can imagine this verse printed in bold and underlined in your Bible. It says, "Surely I am with you." Surely is that word that used to be translated in the reverent sounding way, "Behold," or "Lo" in your King James Version. But it means, "Look, see here, pay attention to this. Surely I am with you." Again, the construction is emphatic when it says, "I am with you." Your teacher and friend, your Savior and Lord, the same one who walked the dusty roads of Galilee with you is the one who continues to be with you now and always. "I am" is with you. Jesus doesn't have to, and maybe it's just an accident, but he uses the divine name that was revealed to Moses. "I am who I am." The one name that, according to verse 19, is shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The faithful God of Israel, whose presence would go with his people. "I am" is with you. Always. Always is literally all the days, day in and day out, he is with us. This word "all" dominates these last few verses of the gospel. Jesus tells his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you all the days, to the end of the age." It is this all-encompassing nature of Jesus' presence with us that I want to focus on today. Specifically, this passage embraces some of the extremes of life in which God is with us, in which He will never leave us or forsake us. On the mountain and in the valley, in faith and in doubt, wherever we go, God is with us. Always. First of all, God is with us always on the mountain and in the valley. In this final meeting between Jesus and his disciples, it occurs on the mountain where Jesus told them to go. Mountaintop experiences have featured prominently in Matthew's gospel, from the temptation of Jesus when the devil took him up on a high mountain, to the feeding of the multitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus first, to another sermon on the Mount of Olives, his last. Today we mark Transfiguration Sunday, like the story that I told to the kids. Another one of these mountaintop experiences when Jesus took Peter and James and John up a high mountain. And there he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became a dazzling white. You might remember in the story, Peter wanted to set up camp. He wanted to stay there forever. But the experience was fleeting, and they had to return to the valley. And when they got back down the mountain, they found the other disciples in the midst of discouragement and failure, unable to heal a boy whose father had brought him to be healed by the disciples. And it was enough to make Jesus wonder, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to put up with you? It's not hard for us to imagine Jesus in the glory of the mountaintop, but his faithful presence extends to the frustrations and the failures, the discouragement, and even the despair of the valley as well. There's this Transfiguration hymn called "Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here." And it celebrates the glory of that mountaintop experience, but it acknowledges in this hymn that you can't stay there forever. And it prays in the last line, which I think is my favorite, "Since you bid us leave the mount, go with us to the plain." Jesus isn't just there on top of the mountain, but he comes with us down into the valleys of life. Or as we affirm in the familiar words of the 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." God is with us always, in the mountain and in the valley. God is with us always as well, in faith and in doubt. This passage begins saying that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus' followers are regularly caught between faith and doubt, between wonder and fear, especially in the wake of Jesus' death and resurrection. We especially remember the doubts of Thomas, who refused to believe until he could see and touch the risen Jesus for himself. Even the apostles experience doubt, and the Gospels do not shy away from that. The word for doubt and hesitation here, it shows up only one other time in the entire New Testament. In Matthew chapter 14, another story that Matthew's the only one who tells. And it's a story when Peter wavers between faith and doubt at night on the Sea of Galilee. It's just after Jesus had fed the crowd of 5,000 people, and he sent his disciples on across the lake in the boat while he remained on a mountain to pray. And it was about midnight, as the winds were swirling about them, that the disciples noticed Jesus coming toward them, walking on the water. At first they're terrified. They think it's a ghost coming across the waves. But then Jesus calls out to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." And so Peter asks, "Lord, if it's you, have me come out to you on the water." And in a leap of faith, Peter takes those first faltering steps out on top of the waves before he's overcome by his fear. And as he begins to sink, Jesus reaches out and catches him and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What I find so encouraging is that it is in doubt that Jesus draws nearest to his disciples. As Peter begins to sink, Jesus reaches out to catch him. And when the disciples hesitated on the mountain, Jesus came to them. Our New International Version leaves out some of the redundancy of this verse, but I think we catch something of the hint of Jesus' commitment to be with them in their uncertainty when it says he came to them and he spoke to them and he said, even in their doubt, Jesus drew near and spoke words of encouragement. God is with us always, in faith and in doubt. Finally, God is with us always, wherever we go. I purposely saved what this passage is most famous for the last, so that we could notice some of these other elements first. But this, of course, is the Great Commission. The gospel ends, just as our worship does every week, with sending the disciples out into the world to carry on what Jesus has begun. And so Matthew's conclusion isn't an ending, it's a beginning. Go and make disciples of all nations. It was several weeks ago when we were talking about God being with us specifically on mission that we considered the disciples' first commissioning back in Matthew chapter 10. This was when Jesus first called and named his 12 disciples. Now he's sending them out to make more disciples. Chapter 10 told us that Jesus gave them authority to heal the sick and to preach the gospel. And now Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." In chapter 10, the disciples were restricted to ministry among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in a territory and among a people who were familiar to them. But now they're being sent out to all nations, among all peoples. Jesus' universal authority calls for a universal mission. And these simple fishermen are about to find themselves in places and among peoples whom they could have never imagined being among. Jesus is sending them out a little like the Starship Enterprise, to boldly go where they have never gone before. And God will be with them. Matthew often wants us to see in the story of Jesus echoes of Moses and the story of Israel. And it was Israel and Moses who more than once insisted that they wouldn't budge from the spot they were in unless God went with them. And go he did, leading all the way in a pillar of cloud and fire. Jesus' last words to his disciples here echo Moses' charge to Joshua and the Israelites at the end of their long journey to the promised land. When Moses told them, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." There is nowhere that God can send you where God is not already there. There is nowhere that you can go where Jesus is not already King. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he says. "Therefore, go." You can go because I am reigning at the Father's right hand. Psalm 139 asks, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast." There is nowhere where God can send you where he is not already there. So God is with us always, on the mountain and in the valley, in faith and in doubt. Wherever we go, God is with us always. I wanted to respond this morning in the words of Psalm 121, and I've printed it in the insert in your bulletin so you can join in. This is a prayer for God's presence at all times and in all places. Wherever you go, whatever you experience, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, now and always. Let's pray together in the words of Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your life.